This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We begin a new calendar year. And we do that with readings having to do with names and naming. And we're especially concerned this day with honoring the name of Jesus, the name above all names. And it'll become clear in a minute or two why this particular focus is appropriate for us as a way to begin a brand new year. I'm hearing a humming still, are you? I'm going to get that. I'm glad it wasn't just me. And so we start that teaching today with our first reading, that familiar blessing from the book of Numbers that you hear and hopefully look forward to every week. But such a familiar passage that I wonder if the power and the significance of that passage isn't a little bit lost on us today. You know that God's name was revered among the Hebrew people. In fact, God's name, the respect for God's name, is built right into the law. It's the second, think about that, the second of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And according to the book of Leviticus, blaspheming the name of God was a capital offense. The Hebrews were so concerned about God, using God's name incorrectly, that they got into the habit of never using it at all. Did you know that? Even though going all the way back through the Hebrew scriptures, right to the book of Genesis, the proper name of God, Yahweh, was given to the Hebrews, they never chose to utter it aloud. And this is one of the things that makes that first reading from the book of Numbers so remarkable. God's talking directly to Moses, and God gives Moses a specific set of words to use to bless the entire nation of Israel. And surprisingly, that blessing includes the proper name of God, Yahweh. So when Aaron and the priest said, "The Lord bless you and keep you," they were in fact instructed to say, Yahweh. And maybe did you notice that that phrase, "the Lord," just happens to be used three times in that blessing? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord look upon you with favor. And we Christians, we can look back at that ancient blessing and see a foreshadowing of the Trinity. But for those early Hebrews, the really astonishing thing about that blessing was that it used the proper name of God. May Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make his face shine upon you. And most important of all, at least to those early Hebrews, would have been that very last verse. That verse that we don't even use in that blessing every Sunday. But it's important to the Hebrews. And verse 27, it says this. And this is God talking now. It says, "So they," and God's talking about Aaron and the priests, "shall put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them. This is amazing. This means that those Israelites would actually bear the personal name of God, and that God would bless them as a result. This is huge. Maybe not as huge to us as it would have been to those ancient Hebrews, but far from being afraid to use God's name, they're instructed to use God's name in this blessing that the Israelites would hear every time they go to worship. This blessing actually puts the name of God on the Israelites. And somehow, God is just surrounding them with blessing through this whole process. There are power and blessing in the name of the Lord. That's what we can take from this lesson today. And believers who bear the name of God, who live as citizens of the kingdom of God, can expect to receive blessing and peace. Do you always catch that peace is the very last word in that blessing? Peace. And of course, that Hebrew word is shalom. The final word of that blessing that we get every week is peace. Shalom. And for the believer, shalom is something much, much greater than just the absence of war or conflict. Shalom describes a state of tranquility that includes lots of things. Things like good health, security, inner harmony, long life, and even material comfort. All this comes through being identified with the name of God and all the blessing and peace that flows from that. Did you notice that the power of God's name shows up even in our psalm of the day, Psalm number 8? It both begins and ends with a reference to how majestic is what? The name of God. And here again, that name is that personal name, Yahweh. God's name is both majestic and worthy of praise and worship. And then in our second lesson, Paul gives us kind of a special insight into a particular revelation that he had about a very personal aspect of God's name. God sends the Spirit of His Son into our hearts so that we might receive it and know God well enough to cry out to Him as Abba, or as we would say today, Papa or Daddy. You know, whether or not you are blessed to have an excellent relationship with your own father, I think you can appreciate the comfort and security and just downright love that come with knowing our God by that very personal and intimate name of Abba, Papa. I think that name, all by itself, speaks to the kind of close and personal relationship that God wants to have with each and every one of us. And then finally, we come to our gospel reading, where we're told sort of very matter-of-factly, right at the end of that reading, in the very last line, how Mary and Joseph obediently named their baby Jesus, just as the angel Gabriel instructed them. And of course, we know that name Jesus is the Latin version of the Hebrew name Yeshua or Joshua. It literally means the Lord saves. And how appropriate is it that the one who saves us from our sin and reconciles all of creation back to God is named the Lord saves? So why is this significant for us today? And why do we choose to consider names and naming on this first Sunday of a new calendar year? I'd say it's significant because we recognize that our readings today and many others in the Bible teach us that God's name is still relevant to our lives today. All through the New Testament and even today, demons are cast out, people are healed, baptized and come to faith through the name of Jesus. Jesus' final instructions to his disciples in the last chapter of the book of Matthew are, "Go therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." There is power in the name of Jesus today to break the bonds of oppression hold us down. If we'll just turn to him and make Jesus Lord of our life. Through our baptisms, we're christened. Maybe I can't say it because it should be that we're Christ-end. We receive the name of Christ through our baptism. He becomes our spiritual brother, and we're adopted into God's family. We exchange our sin-stained names and lives for the sinless and matchless name of Jesus. And it's through the power of his name, and not based on any merit of our own, that we're made fit to be included into God's family. We're empowered, and we can begin to live kingdom lives right now. And so I ask, what better time is there than the start of a new calendar year to recognize this truth? Because you know, we are still in the season of Christmas. It lasts until the day of Epiphany, January 6th. So we're still in the season of Christmas. So on this New Year's Day, let's call on the power of the name of Jesus so that we can practice Christmas, not just this first week following Christmas, but for the next 52 weeks of the coming year. One of our good friends has described the whole year of 2016 as a dumpster fire. And I know that for some of you, this would be an understatement. And we know that even though we follow Christ, that doesn't mean we're going to be free from dumpster fires when they come. But we do know that by the power of Jesus' name and through his Spirit working in our lives, we have the tools, we have the resources to deal with those situations when they come. As someone once said, struggles in this life are inevitable, but misery is optional. In other words, trouble is bound to come. We know that. But we have a choice as to how to deal with those troubles when they come. They can be a source of misery or an opportunity for joy and growth. In the book of James, chapter 1, St. James, the brother of Jesus, tells us, "Whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. For when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow." We have chances to practice Christmas even during times of adversity. When the alarm goes off in the morning and it's cold and dark and dreary outside, we can moan, "Good Lord, morning." Or we could smile and say, "Good morning, Lord." One of my very good friends in the faith posted a "Good Morning, Lord" poem to greet the coming new year. It's by William Arthur Ward, and it goes like this. "Another fresh year is here, another year to live, to banish worry, doubt, and fear, to love and laugh and give. This bright new year is given me to live each day with zest, to daily go and try to be my highest and my best. I have the opportunity once more to right some wrongs, to pray for peace, to plant a tree, to sing more joyful songs. In the precious and powerful name of Jesus, may each and every one of us know the joy that comes from being free from worry, doubt, and fear. May you live each day with zest. May you right some wrongs. Pray for peace among nations and among ourselves. May you sing more joyful songs. May you practice Christmas, not just this week, but all through 2017. Amen.